You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Wednesday to you. We appreciate you being here with us. Thank goodness for basketball. We don't have to talk about the transfer nonsense, at least for a little while. We will get into transfer portal, portal mania, portal madness, portal potty, whatever you want to call it, what Arkansas's got going on right now, and not just the Razorbacks, it's everybody. But we have a lot of basketball to talk to. The Razorbacks beat Michigan last night 89-87 at Madison Square Garden. The Wolverines ranked number 14. What a game. Arkansas was down by 15 in the first half. They come back. They take an 18-point lead in the second half, and then they almost give it away. They're able to win, though, at the end. Then we got a couple of pretty good defensive plays at the end from Trevin Brazil and Nelly Davis. Arkansas now 8-2, and they get a really important win. I think that this win is going to be one that we look back on, I think, in March, whenever it comes time for tournament selection, whether whether Arkansas is on the bubble or whether maybe it helps them get a 5 seed instead of a 6 or a 4 instead of a 5 or wherever they are at that time. And we're going to look at this Michigan game and say that helped. Michigan's a good team, and I thought it was the best Arkansas has looked all season. They return to the state today. They'll be in North Little Rock on Saturday to take on Central Arkansas at Simmons Bank Arena. Anthony Christensen was at the game last night at Madison Square Garden. He's taking a stroll through Central Park right now as he joins us. Anthony, what was the atmosphere like there? Because, watching it on television, it seemed like Arkansas had a lot of people in the stands.
Oh, yeah, it rocked. That place was awesome. I think I wrote in my story, it felt a little bit like Bud Walton Northeast. Because there was a lot of Arkansas fans who made the trip, or I don't know if there's a big University of Arkansas alumni base in New York City, so maybe they got that going for them.
I think every university has a big alumni.
But no, in New York. Fantastic atmosphere, awesome game. But yeah, just overall, very good experience, and like you said, big time resume win for Arkansas, just because of how good I expect Michigan to be, how good Michigan has been already this season. Obviously I think it's not debatable to say it's the biggest win of the John Calipari era. The other one that you could probably say is Lipscomb. Awesome game, awesome atmosphere, and
it seemed like it was playing out a lot like some of the recent games, in that they didn't start particularly well and they dig themselves a little bit of a hole that they've got to come back from. But I thought the difference last night was that instead of waiting for the second half to start the comeback, you could really see it over about the last 5 or 6 minutes of the first half. I don't know if they make that run there toward halftime, that they've got what it takes in the tank in the second half to be able to hold off Michigan.
I would probably agree with that. You look at how Michigan played kind of in that middle section of the first half. They made 11 consecutive shots. that's not something you expect teams to do very often. Michigan was awesome. The response from that, and Arkansas was hitting shots during that span too, that just couldn't get any stops. Getting those shots in that time, that 7-minute frame or whatever it was obviously huge, because that kind of limited Michigan's lead. I know Michigan took a 15-point lead at one point, but you're talking about potentially 20-25, if you're not hitting shots in that span. And then obviously after the under 8-minute media timeout, made some changes, started playing a little bit better defensively. Obviously you don't want to give up 49 points in the first half or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were hitting shots and, got some stops to get it back to single digits, and didn't wait until the second half to make that comeback effort, which was huge going down.
Arkansas, they're playing so well in the second half right now. The last three games against Miami, UTSA, and Michigan, Arkansas outscored those three teams by 37 points in the second half. They trailed at halftime of all three of those games. They had margins of 8, 5, and 4. Of course, all those games had been a little bit wider margin even before halftime, and they win the games by 3, 15, and 2. In the second half, over the last three games, Anthony, Arkansas has shot 56% overall and 47% from three-point range. So it's really impressive what they're doing in the second half. I thought the first 10 minutes after halftime last night was the best stretch of play that I've seen from Arkansas all year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, not just offensively, but defensively, too. I mean, yeah. They started that second half on a 12-2 run.
Michigan had
I think, 10 second-half turnovers or something like that, maybe more. Obviously, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but, yeah, I mean, just like you said, it was the best they've looked so far this season. I mean, DJ Wagner was getting hot. Boogie Flynn looked really good. I mean, Jonas Adu, I thought, was really good as well. Trevin Brazil, I mean, there's a lot to like there. And, I mean, if that's, I guess, the team you're going to get, I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch if you're an Arkansas fan. But, yeah, obviously you want to clean up some of the first half stuff as you kind of go down the season because, I mean, you're not always going to get that kind of second half performance, even though they've gotten that the last few games. So you want to obviously not go into a hole in the first half.
Some stats to know. Boogie Flan scored 20. That's a team high for Arkansas. Game high, actually. 7 assists for the Razorbacks. DJ Wagner had 16 points, including 14 after halftime. Trevin Brazil, I thought it was the most complete performance that he's had all year. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. He had the big shot block at the end. You mentioned Jonas Adu. Last night was his 22nd birthday. He scored 11 and had 7 rebounds. Also had a couple of block shots, a couple of steals. And Adu Thiro, playing with the flu, finishes with 13 points. He had 11 in the first half. It felt to me like if Thiro didn't have the performance that he has in the first half, it could have been a big blowout at halftime. And who knows how this game might go differently. But, credit to him for playing through, feeling pretty yucky. Go back to Fland. You know, he grew up in New York, grew up in the Bronx. How big of a game do you think this was for him? And I mean, he said he had over 100 people in the stands. And it just seemed to me like, Anthony, it brought out the best in him being back home playing in the Garden for the first time.
Yeah, and I mean, him and DJ Wagner both, I know DJ is from Camden over in New Jersey, but still pretty local. I mean, you could tell how excited those guys were to just play at the Garden. Boogie Fland especially, I asked him at the Miami game about getting to play back at home and everything, and he just smiled, laughed a little bit, looked down. You could see just how excited he was to get that opportunity. And it was always a little bit louder whenever Boogie did something. Like, obviously, you had mentioned he had over 100 people there supporting him. So, but it did kind of bring out the best in him. Obviously, he had, I believe it was 7 assists, too. So it wasn't just, it wasn't his most, efficient scoring night. I believe he finished 6 of 18 from the field. But, I mean, his assists were good. I believe he's always going to be a tough on-ball defender. And then DJ Wagner as well, obviously. I believe he had this stretch in the second half where he hit, I believe it was 6 or 7 consecutive shots that he took. So, I mean, he was huge, obviously, just kind of going down that stretch and kind of, building Arkansas's lead there in the second half as opposed to, just coming back. But yeah, you could tell those guys were real excited to be playing back at home and all that.
John Calipari is his 28th game as a college coach. We talked about this yesterday. We didn't know if the 28 was just as a college coach or if it included his NBA career. 28 as a college coach at the Garden. And then he made an interesting comment last night, Anthony, after the game. He said he wants to take the team back to Madison Square Garden every year.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. this is my first time in New York City. I'm staying with my friend right here, so that's been fun. Getting the whole experience. I've got a bagel, all of that. But MSG is awesome. I think everybody knows that. Now having experienced it, I know that firsthand. So that was a lot of fun. But it's obviously beyond just the fun of it. I mean, it's a huge stage, right? And that's kind of what John Calipari's kind of been about his whole career. It's been, playing on this level, playing at this stage, playing in front of, the whole country and getting those guys kind of used to playing in front of that level of competition and getting guys ready for the NBA, right? So, just a laundry list of, benefits to playing games like that at Madison Square Garden. So, I wouldn't complain. I know he won't complain. Doesn't seem like the players would complain. I don't think fans would complain about a trip to MSG either. So I see only positives.
Well, I mean, you know, the downside is that you don't get to play these games on campus. But
yes,
you know,
that is.
It's hard. I think it's easier to schedule the games in these neutral settings than it is to get a home and home arrangement. And I think that's one of the reasons that you see coaches that are going to this type of format so much. Let me ask you this before we get you out of here. Okay, so let's say Arkansas goes to North Little Rock on Saturday, and they take care of business against UCA. Do they go into your AP poll next week?
Yeah, so I update my AP poll, like, hourly. I mean, obviously it doesn't change, but I've got, like, a little note tap on my phone. Right now I think I've got Arkansas slated 17 or 18. Moved them a little ahead of Michigan just because of the neutral side win. But as of right now and assuming they take care of business against, quite frankly, a not very good Central Arkansas team on Saturday, they should be in my poll.
And then kind of along the same lines, you saw Tennessee in person last night. I mean,
good.
After seeing them with your own eyes, do they look like the top-ranked team?
I kind of battle with myself about whether I want Tennessee at one or Auburn at one, just because Auburn obviously has the tougher games, the better wins, but then Tennessee's undefeated. I don't think you can really have many gripes about either of those teams being at number one, but Tennessee looked really good, especially in stretches. There was a stretch there where Miami kind of made it a game, but there wasn't ever any point in which I was thinking, okay, yeah, Tennessee might lose, if that makes sense. No, they're good, man. I mean, Zakai Ziegler is really good. They've got a lot of good guards. I mean, their front court play is obviously what it always is. Chaz Lanier, coming up from North Florida, he's as advertised. I just had to duck from a pigeon. But, I mean, Tennessee's good, man. I mean, the whole SEC is good. I think I saw a stat last night. I think the SEC is like 138-19 so far this season, which is just ridiculous. But yeah, Tennessee lives up to the hype. Whether or not they're the best team in the country, I think it's between them and Auburn. But yeah, the whole SEC right now is looking pretty good, with the exception of maybe South Carolina with some of the tough non-conference losses they've taken. But yeah, I mean, Lamont Paris is still a very good coach and can turn that around. So, I mean, the whole league looks really solid top to bottom.
John Calipari said after the game last night that SEC basketball is, and I think the way he said it, it's like, I've been told that it's like SEC baseball. I don't know how much he's been watching SEC baseball, but basically anybody can beat anybody. Anthony, we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right, have a safe trip back. Arkansas and Tennessee, by the way, just right around the corner, January 4th in the SEC opener for both of those teams. That should be Arkansas's next big test, assuming that they handle these next few games well. Ethan Westerman will be with me when we come back, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Ethan Westerman is here now. Ethan, did you get more sleep or less than I did last night?
I got a little bit less than you, I think. A little bit more sleep than you, I'm sorry. I intended to get less, but I hit the snooze button on my alarm this morning at least three times. So
yeah, it, I got a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old. There's no snoozing.
I'm about to say, you have a snooze that doesn't have as long of a timer as mine.
No, they don't understand when you're up working till whatever time. Not a big fan of 8 o'clock basketball games. I'll be honest with you, but hey, it was. I had a lot of fun watching that game last night. And we said this yesterday. It wasn't so much like if Arkansas won or lost. It was just, would they play Michigan well? And I was actually thinking of two things. I said, number one, yesterday I said, I don't expect them to win, so what'd they do? They go out and they win. Yeah. And then number two, remember I said something?
Yeah, about them making a...
Making a shot at the end, you tip
your
hat to
them. You said, watch Michigan make a three-pointer with 14 seconds left, and then instead with 14 seconds left, that's the exact time
Brazil blocked.
Yeah, that was the exact time, Brazil made a block. So you were... You were seeing into the future a little bit there.
It was all foggy. I wasn't wearing my glasses.
Exactly. It was it was something you saw in a dream, but you weren't able to really recall exact details.
I've said this a few times. Like, what are they going to look like when they get everybody healthy? And they didn't have everybody necessarily at their disposal last night. Vesic didn't play a lot of minutes. I think he played 9 minutes. Billy Richmond didn't play very well at all. Calipari had a comment about him after the game, said that it's really effort and energy with him right now, which is kind of surprising because it seemed like there for a stretch, he was the effort and energy guy, or he was at least one of them, maybe along with Trevin Brazil. But the point being, Adu, I was watching that game last night, I'm like, okay, that's what we've been waiting on. And then I think there's more in the tank there for him. Brazil, it seems like he's really brought his game along. Does it look to you with Brazil like he enjoys playing basketball this year more than he has in the past year or two?
Yeah, it seems like he's – just the aggression is up. That play to block the shot toward the end, it was like a – it was an all-out type of effort to get around in that recovery to get that block. And it just seems like he's diving when he's in there. He's jumping for loose balls. He's just playing with a lot more grit than I think that we've seen before. And talk about something aging well. I wrote about him on Saturday. It just seemed to me like at the game against UTSA that it seemed like he has a role that's not as... last year we went to the season and it was like, oh, Trevin Brazil's supposed to be the star. And it just didn't fit him. And now he's got a limited role that he's... much better at, honestly. And I wrote about it on Saturday how it seems like he's carving out a role, and then he turns around and has a very, very big role in the Michigan game. He's playing well.
Just needs to learn to make free throws at the end.
Yeah, which that's what's kind of crazy to me because I think he's been
a decent free throw shooter.
It's one of those deals that maybe it was just you're playing in Madison Square Garden and you've already missed one in the game, and then all of a sudden you're shooting the most important free throws of the season so far. And I think they said something on the broadcast. He had only shot like 2 free throws before that game or something this year. Mm. So what a time to have to step in and make your most important free throws. Got to get that fixed. He's not the only one. A lot of people have been missing free throws this year, but you couldn't have won without Trevin Brazil last night. I know he almost... his misses at the stripe almost gave Michigan, a chance to send it to overtime. But end of the day, you wouldn't have gotten in that position without him.
Whether or not this makes a difference, I don't know. But it was also the most minutes he's played this year.
Yeah.
26 minutes.
Well, and I think that goes back to what was, not having a due Thero at full being able to play because he was under the weather and a Vesic. You had to play him more last night, and I think that more than anything, Trevin Brazil showed last night that they can trust him going down the road to play more minutes with everybody. And I think probably that was the most encouraging thing in the whole game yesterday, is knowing that you didn't have who's been your best player this season at 100%. He still gave it a lot, and he had a big impact, Adu Thero did, but you didn't even have him. And then Vesic, you could make the argument that whenever he's been healthy, he's been right up there with Thero as 1 and 2. Or Boogie Fland has an argument there, but up there in the top 3, just most impactful. So you were missing 2 of your guys, and you got out with a gritty win. And I did like what he said about Billy Richmond after the game. It's kind of funny reading how it was. Whenever you transcribe it, sometimes it doesn't give the same feeling as what he says. Just hearing his tone and stuff. I think Calipari was saying that with Billy Richmond, that's the only reason he's still playing his energy and effort. He said he's not playing well, just like, I guess, playing the game very well right now, but he said like he's going to give me energy and effort still, which I think that right now, if they can get Billy Richmond and Carter Knox into the mix two more, just of giving you good minutes and get healthy, I know that's two big ifs, but that's two things that could really turn this into like a scary team down the road.
While you were talking, I was able to test out my cough button here. See, you can't hear me?
Yeah, you're cutting in and out.
Yeah, I mean, it's working. Well, it's kind of like a panic button at a bank. You know, you go and rob a bank. I don't have any experience in this field, but you know, the movies tell me this, that when you rob a bank, somebody's sitting there behind the counter and they hit a panic button and it trips a silent alarm and, you know, the cops are on their way. This is kind of how this – I'm going to have fun with this button.
I'm going to have fun with it too, because anytime I see you struggling over
there – It doesn't do anything for your microphone.
Well,
I hope you
know, I'm going to reach over, and the moment I see that you got the frog in your throat that likes to hop around occasionally, and I'll just hit it for you. I'll give you the assist.
I like this button.
I can tell you do.
I can't quit messing with it. This is my first day with my panic button here, my cough button. It's kind of like a panic. You know, I think if a broadcaster starts coughing, there's a lot of panic that's involved. I think a panic button can be it works for this discussion.
It's now your favorite thing on this desk. So,
hey, we want to tell you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com, most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports. Award-winning team of reporters and photographers bring subscribers the most trusted Razorback news with analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. Arkansas trailed this game by 15, and then they led by 18, and then they nearly gave it away. There was a game against South Carolina. This has been, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, maybe 12. They all kind of run together. There was a game, though, where they were down by, and I don't even remember who was up by what margin, but one team was down by 11, and the other came back and led by 20. Or maybe one team was up by 20, the other team came back and led by 11, and then lost that lead. And I was thinking about that game as this one was going along last night. John Calipari, after the game, was talking about the comeback. And, you know, this is typical Calipari. There's some thoughts on the comeback, and there's some thoughts on everything else during this short clip.
Having a will to win, that's when you know, okay, now we have a will to win. Let's get the rest of the stuff together. These kids haven't stopped fighting all year. I mean, we were down to Baylor big, and all of a sudden it's a tie game, and we're down three with the ball twice. Illinois got it to nine and miss a layup. Missed free throws, and had a chance to get it to five or six. So, but we've also been down some first halves that we shouldn't have been. But this one at halftime, I was so happy because we could have been down 25, and all of a sudden we're down four.
John Calipari, after the game, he could have used a cough button right there. They need to get one up there on his desk. They got to figure out, though, how to play out of the gate better. They were okay the first 6 minutes last night. And then it's just kind of like there's that first half lull that we've seen so many times with this team. That's the – I guess if there's a concern about Arkansas, that's still one of them.
Yeah, I was thinking last night watching it live, I was like, oh, they survived the first few minutes. They're in the lead after that Brazil. It was an Adu swat off the backboard, and then the Brazil run out dunk gets them up 8-5, I think. And I was like, oh, wow, they're making the first punch tonight. And then that didn't transpire over the next few minutes. It's you have to credit Michigan there too, because they were making everything. But you can all, anytime a team is playing out of their mind great like that, it has something to do with the opponent too and the defense. And so,
a lot of open threes.
They were making them, so you got to give them credit. But it was the type of, I thought Arkansas might be dead in the water midway through the first half, just because of everything seemed like it was difficult on Arkansas's end offensively, and all of a sudden everything was easy for Michigan, and that's where it gets scary for a team. But they survived that punch, and let me tell you, player of the game, in my opinion, was DJ Wagner. He made huge shots to help them get out of that being down, and then in the second half to build the lead. He was huge. But there's a lot of there's some teams that, you know, a loss will hit them hard, and that's what they got to learn from is a loss. I'm curious to see if this Arkansas team is one that can learn. I mean, it's an exciting win. Everybody's patting them on the back. You beat the number 14 team in the country. But there were so many things in that game that you can still learn from. And I think that middle half of the first half. And then also in the second half, just letting the lead slip up. How are they going to learn from that? And I mean, I said DJ Wagner, player of the game, but imagine had he on that one, he had the, you know, the reaction to getting hit with the shoulder. What if they had just teed up him and not the Michigan player? Then
Cheddar,
which was not spelled like the cheese. But
I was trying to, like, if he would have kept going in the first half, I'm sitting there last night thinking about, like, what cheesy joke can I make here? Yeah, you know, with Cheddar shredding the Razorbacks.
Yeah. Well, it was Cheddar was he was having a good game there for a while. But he in that moment I was thinking, I was like, what if they had just teed up Wagner? The end of the game looks totally different because Michigan would have gotten free throws, and you know, it's everything's important in a one possession game. And so there's things you can learn from, like don't be react like that. But then again, Arkansas gets a win. Are they gonna take that momentum, carry it the rest of the non-conference, and keep on improving, or are they gonna be that team that still gets down to another mid-major and trails at halftime and has to claw out of it?
So Arkansas went up 80-62 with 9:45 left on a dunk by Brazil, and then they go 6 minutes and several seconds, I think like 6:10, without making a field goal. They had a couple of free throws in there. They get the, you know, the putback by Brazil that snaps that streak, and then Nellie Davis has a three-point play, and then they go the final 3 minutes without making a field goal. So the offense was not very good down the stretch. But the defense, even though they had some lapses during those last 10 minutes, really the two big defensive plays in the last 20 seconds, you had Brazil blocking the shot by Golden, and then and by the way, Brazil – I mean, he had to, it looked like he was out of position to make that block. I don't know how he got.
It was a total recovery block.
Yeah, I don't know how he got back in position to do that, but it was a great defensive play by him. And then Nellie Davis with the play at the end to knock the ball away. You and I, we didn't think that Michigan got a shot away. We were, in fact, in the initial story that we had last night was that they didn't get a shot away at the buzzer. They actually did. I didn't realize that until I went back and watched the replay. I thought Davis had made a play and that Michigan had no chance of getting a shot off. I was surprised that they did, but the play that he made, it was a very low percentage shot. And then, you know, who's right there guarding the shooter? It was Brazil coming out after him.
Yeah, and I think, and DJ Wagner was kind of there. Like, he did the whole, like, oh, crap. He realized he was going to go dig at the ball, and he was like, I better not try and foul. This is a terrible shot this guy's taking. And you see DJ Wagner at the end just throw his hands back and make sure he didn't touch him. But, yeah, there were guys all over the floor on that last play is what stood out to me whenever I was going back and watching it. I think you had maybe Davis on the floor, Wagner trying to make it a little more difficult, Brazil in the area. I mean, there were guys just everywhere, and that's the positive things I think you're seeing with this team. Trevin Brazil swats that ball last night, and he jumps up and comes down with it so strong too. It's just he's playing so much more aggressive than we've seen in the past. He made sure that after that block that it was was going to be Arkansas ball. He's just the development I've seen from him all has to do with like motor, I think, and I think he just is starting to maybe feel comfortable in a role, which I'm just not sure I knew his role since the Maui Invitational, you know, a couple years ago, whenever it seemed like his role was being the stretch big man that could knock down a three. Now he's showing some versatility, and he's making some big plays.
John Calipari had this to say about the defensive plays in the last minute.
So, and let me just say that the play where TB misses two free throws, Trevin, what's he come back and do down the other end? He blocked the shot. That means he's getting over himself, and I'm here to win the game. I missed two, so what? I'll do something. Nelly got beat on that back door. Oh, he was beat, dead to rights. And what did he do? Instead of stopping, he fought. And he dove on the floor and tipped it with his right hand, and we win the game because of a play where he got beat, but it was an effort play. And that's all good stuff for them to learn.
So John Calipari on the big plays at the end of the game, Arkansas winning this 89-87. We mentioned Fland and Wagner. They combined for 36 points last night, and people are going to focus on the scoring. But something that caught my eye was 12 assists between the two of them, 7 for Fland and 5 for Wagner, and just 4 turnovers between the two of them in 72 total minutes. That's the type of backcourt play that wins you high-level games.
Yeah, Fland is, I mean, John Calipari said it. He's going to have a triple-double, I think, at some point. He just is so versatile. And he, I mean, I think he was second in the SEC entering yesterday, averaging five assists per game. And to put up, I think, did he have seven of the 12?
Fland had seven.
Yeah, to do that against a team like Michigan, it's showing that you can, you know, sometimes you'll get these padded stats in non-conference because you were getting assists against UMass, or UMass is Maryland Eastern Shore, by the way. I just like calling
UMass.
Them. Yeah, it's messy. UMass. It's messy. But to show that you can do that against a Michigan, Boogie Fland is demonstrating that his game translates to big moments. He did that at, I know, not as big of a stage at Miami in the ACC SEC, but he stepped up when it was big time. He's playing really well right now. And they had a good, I thought, just conscious effort of trying to get it into Adu last night. I don't even know how many of those assists went to Adu or even maybe Brazil down low, but they were looking inside to try and come off those screens and roll and hit the big man.
Calipari was asked about guards after the game last night, and he said, this is what he had to say.
You and I know if you want to have a good college team, you better have good guards. And we have good guards. Nelly's going to get better. He's getting into the feel of how he's got to play. He's going to be fine. Carter has to get us that next guy with size who can also score, but we need all the other things from him. With Adu and those three bigs, you know, Billy Richmond had played well until the last week or so, and it's just his effort and energy. So I like my team. We got work to do, but we got a high ceiling. We really do.
So there's John Calipari on the Razorbacks backcourt and his team. Big win for Arkansas. I just don't think you can – it's one game. May not mean a whole lot in the future. It may mean a lot in the future. We'll see. But in the, you know, just in the moment, it felt good to see Arkansas perform well on a big stage. You got Shulman and Billis calling the game. You got a ranked opponent you're playing against. It seemed like all of this, everything that the basketball team's gone through over the last 7-8 months, hiring Calipari, getting the roster assembled that they did. It seemed like last night was kind of a culmination of all that.
This was the first big Calipari at Arkansas moment, in my opinion. I mean, this type of – the Jimmy V Classic is made for a coach like John Calipari to be coaching in. I mean, he was in his bag last night. Let's not lie.
He was in his element.
He was loving every second of being there in New York and on that stage and, you know, getting to shout out Dickie V afterward. I know they're friends. That was just the perfect John Calipari event. And to have the showing that Arkansas fans did in New York – I think it was like the first since he's been here, just kind of national people seeing that Arkansas can be a big basketball. It is a big basketball brand, and that there's fans all around the country. And they showed up and they showed out in New York, and Calipari noticed it too. He mentioned it in his post game. So there was that aspect that, I mean, it was just a good for the brand of Arkansas basketball. And then too, this was a huge feather in the cap for Arkansas or for SEC basketball again, because into the season, there's going to be some teams that are sitting at, 18 conference games. There's going to be some 7-11, 8-10 teams that people are arguing should they get in the NCAA tournament. And if you have an Arkansas over here who, in the non-conference, they beat Michigan, who finishes, let's just say they finish top 4 or 5 in the Big Ten, which I think that's pretty reasonable. You know, it's hard to argue against the SEC at the end of the year. This was just, like I said, another feather in the cap for the whole conference because it's been dominant.
Which state do you think will have the highest TV ratings from that game last night? Arkansas, Missouri, or Kentucky?
Missouri.
Michigan.
Oh, I was
sorry.
I was like, where did Missouri
come
into this?
Well, I botched that, didn't I? Arkansas, Michigan, or Kentucky?
You know?
Kentucky.
It's going to be the bluegrass state, yeah, I would think.
I think so too.
I think that they are still following him.
Yeah, I think
watching every move.
I think there were a lot of eyes from Kentucky watching that last night.
Had Arkansas blown that lead, social media, they always post the final score graphic on the account. That would have been an insufferable place to be in the replies afterward.
Speaking of insufferable, you ready to talk about recruiting? Transfer portal?
Are we hitting a break first? I got to catch my breath and just brace for this because I'm sick of this. I'm sick of it, Matt.
We'll talk about transfer portal in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Benville Glass. They're committed, professional, versatile, and they have been serving their community since 1971. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. All right, the latest chapter in Days of Our Hogs. Yesterday, recruiting portal, Braylon Russell. How did this all go down? I mean, it was like there was a report that he was out or he was in the portal. And then a report that, no, he told Mason Choate, who works over at the Rivals site here in Arkansas, that he was staying. And then he enters the portal. And then like 4 or 5 hours later or 3 hours later or something, he's out of the portal. I mean, this is some crazy stuff.
It was absolutely.
It goes to show the problem with just like immediacy reporting and also with social media and how, you know, you can make a decision and all of a sudden you might change your mind, but it's a lot harder to change your mind once you put that out there for everybody to see.
Absolutely. And it's just, in Braylon's case, I mean, it's just, this kind of, it resembles what happened in his high school recruiting where he was committed to Arkansas, decommitted, came back to Arkansas, and now after his freshman year, he's reportedly in the portal, says I'm not going to be in the portal, goes in the portal. I mean, it's just so much back and forth. And he's a guy that he was one of the ones that, you know, I look at opportunity ahead for some of these guys who have entered the portal. And I've said, well, yeah, maybe Luke Haas sees that there's more potential for him at school X. Mm-hmm. He's going to get thrown the ball more. Braylon Russell was one that I looked at and I was like, man, you're prime right now to just like, be as a sophomore taking over maybe lead back duties. If not, I mean, Rashad DeBinion and him both splitting, Rodney Hill will be in the mix, but he has the potential to be that back for Arkansas. And so that was what was confusing to me, because it was like, you know, you look at these situations and you wonder, you know, are there greener pastures ahead for some of these guys? And he was one that I simply thought Arkansas is staying here is the best thing you could do, because you're going to get, there's no doubt, unless you just somehow really digress, you're going to be in position this year to take on a huge role for the team and be one of the stars. You're going to go from being freshman running back that, you know, is playing behind a Jaquindon Jackson and kind of lost in the mix of the offense, to being, people are going to enter next season with Braylon Russell being one of the names you hear a lot.
Yeah.
And so him deciding to stay back at Arkansas, I think, was probably a good move for him.
If it was that frustrating for all of us following just that one particular situation, can you imagine what the headache is like for coaches right now? Because that's one. You probably got something similar going on with the 20-ish players who are leaving, and then you're trying to, you know, pinpoint, you know, the players that you're trying to target and bring in for visits and get you to commit.
I'd love to know what right now a staff meeting is like for the, like, what time are they meeting? They got to be getting together early in the morning before all of it starts. I mean, like, hey, this is what's going on. I mean, they got to be in constant communication. I just would love to know for this football staff what their hours of working are right now, because you never know when a player is going to enter the portal at 9 p.m. and announce it. or, you know, 10 here, 8 on the West Coast, and you're just trying to track down guys and be first point of contact, it's got to be horrible. Sam Pittman probably wants to go get his other hip replaced right now just to give him a little break. That's joking, by the way. I don't think Sam wants that. But.
It's madness. It is madness what is going on. I'm at a loss of words.
Yeah.
Of what to say about what you're seeing play out in real time with this portal stuff.
Yeah, and it's – I mentioned this to you before the show started. I think we're probably going to enter – even before the portal opens and they're just announcing that they're going to enter, and then day one, just absolute chaos. I think we're probably going to hit a quiet period as far as, like, guys leaving until – Arkansas does have a bowl game right before it closes to where some people could if they
–
Yeah. I'd assume we will get some late
– Wouldn't surprise me.
At least a couple. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe these guys that want to go and play in the bowl game, they want to come back. But it wouldn't surprise me if we go through a quiet period and then maybe get some at the end after the bowl game. I think that we've probably hit the point where it's more important to focus on who they're – instead of who's leaving – who they're trying to recruit and bring in.
I wonder how much of this is about valuation and, how much a player thinks he's worth and his agent and whoever the heck is in their ears, how much they think they're worth for 1 year versus how much does the team that they play for now think they're worth. And I would probably guess that those two valuations are going to come, you know, head-to-head and be – at conflict with each other quite often.
I'd agree, and I think that there's probably got to be, just in this climate of coaching, you know, in the past, whenever, before NIL was, you know, a thing, I think that you had those end of year talks, and it was very probably blunt as far as, like, this is what you need to improve your game, this is what you need to do if you want to take the next step next year. Now I think that those probably have to be blunt conversations about how much are you going to pay me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me here still? It's just, it's so transactional now. It's not like, you know, end of the year meeting where you're telling somebody that they need to, you know, I'm coming back to basketball. You really need to come in the gym and work on 3-pointers. You can't shoot. It's now it's like you come to somebody, you're like, do you still want me? Do I still have a role? How much are you going to pay me? And then you talk about basketball. Maybe not. Maybe some coaches take different approaches. But it just seems like right now it's probably a lot of just having to be blunt in a way, like, are we giving you what you need to make you happy and want to stay here? But at the end of the day, it's a situation with Arkansas where they're going to just have to try and recruit from the portal and find guys to replace them and see if you did pull a, you know, we were talking about players yesterday who – you know, you'd say Jaquindon Jackson's season this year was better than Rocket Sanders in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that Taylen Green's season was better than KJ Jefferson's the year before.
I think it was.
You could argue there. I mean, of course, Carmona's season was better than the one they had the previous from who had that spot.
Chambly.
Yeah, and so I wasn't going to drag him, but it was a much better result. And so I just think that, yeah, sometimes you come out and you won in the portal, and we'll see how Arkansas does. But there's a lot of spots to fill now.
Any names stand out to you among the players that they've targeted, reportedly?
Off the top of my head, the tight end from Texas A&M, Jaden Platt.
Okay.
He was in the same class as Luke has, and was like the number 4 tight end. He was very highly recruited. There, I guess he just hasn't gotten to play at A&M. I'm trying to even think who A&M's tight end was this year, but I guess he's been playing behind him. So, I mean, that's an immediate, you look at that, you're like, oh, that's somebody who could probably come in. And he looks to me from pictures, maybe he's a great pass-catching tight end, but his build, I'm like, oh, this is a blocking tight end. This is a guy who's going to come in. And I mean, he's a big dude. So Jaden Platt stands out. There's another... The defensive lineman from Michigan stood out to me when I was looking at his stuff. Just seems like that could be very much an area right now that Arkansas is going to look to improve. And then receiving, they're going to have to get a lot of receivers. That's just mm-hmm. the truth of it. And they have Raylan Sharp, the guy who I believe he's the one who played for Bobby Petrino at Missouri State.
I think that's right, yeah.
And he went to Fresno this year. And I think he starts his visit today. I think I'm getting this right. It's hard. These timelines, y'all, if you hear me say starting a visit today and it's actually Friday, don't drag us because we're seeing 1,000 things in one day. Yeah. But I think Raylan Sharpe starts his visit
Ethan's
today.
Ethan's slowly losing his mind over all this transfer portal stuff. There was one who caught my running back, Eli Sanders,
from New Mexico,
who had a really good year, over 1,000 yards this year, 9 touchdowns. He started his career at Iowa State. So.
I think it was all like honorable mention for All Mountain West this year, which, I mean, you have a conference that has Ashton Jeanty, so there's minus one spot already for the guys. You know, he in another year he might have been All Mountain West, like on an actual team. So
that's a great point.
Yeah. So
that's a great point.
Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate it. Yeah, Raylan Sharpe tweeted yesterday. He said Arkansas tomorrow. So look at me, I'm remembering something.
They got to pack all these visits in because I think the visit period is only like the 9th through the 22nd. It's, you know, it's not the full portal window. Yeah. And so they got to get all this done in a short amount of time before Christmas.
And that is a good point because it makes you wonder, you know, I said that there might be somebody at the end of Arkansas, you know, after a bowl game, it wouldn't surprise if a player or two decide to transfer out. Those people aren't going to get a visit. I mean, you better, at that point, you got to do phone calls.
So I think where we'll leave you is with the portal. I think we might be past the part where, you know, the mass exodus is over. I think we definitely are past that part. And there may be another name or two that trickles in there. Now we're going to turn our focus to see who are they able to replace them with, because ultimately that's the key. It's every player's going to, or every team's going to, you know, suffer attrition. What are they going to do to replace those players? Are they going to be replaced with comparable or better talent?
Yeah, not promising for Arkansas fans that no more bad news will come, but I do feel confident saying that the big bulk of just bad news is probably over for a little bit, and it should be gradual, like getting guys that you can. Here's the thing.
Arkansas is also the season where you got to watch out for your assistant coaches too. I'll say that.
Yeah, true. So just buckle up and we'll see. We have a lot more to go in this portal, but it does seem, as far as like players saying that they're going to leave, probably have taken the biggest sucker punch to the face, because it happens every year. It happened a little harder, I think, this year for Arkansas, but it happens every year, and it's happening to a lot of people, a lot of teams. So I think that now you start to heal because you see some of these guys, they start getting in. And I wouldn't be surprised if they've done well in the portal the past few years as far as getting impact guys. I wouldn't think it would be any different, but we'll see.
WholeHogSports.com is where you can read the latest on the Razorbacks. Anthony will have some more basketball coverage from New York before he flies home this afternoon, so be on the lookout for that. And who knows what we'll have football-wise. We're just kind of on a roller coaster right now, riding the ups and the downs. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you on our podcast tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.